Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the New York Times today takes a very close look at the redevelopment deal in Hoboken that's under federal investigation over Mayor Zimmer's accusations that the Christie administration tied it to Sandy relief for the city, something that the administration denies happened. The reporters, Charles Bagley and Patrick McGeehan, traced the twists and turns of the deal from 2007 to today, and it looks to me like they have at least one new email that adds additional evidence to pressure being placed on the mayor of Hoboken. Welcome, Patrick McGeehan, and welcome back, Charles Bagley.
Thank you, Brian.
So, Patrick, let me start with you and ask right away, what's new here in terms of documentary evidence?
Well, we received more emails and documents from a public records request with the Hoboken mayor, and what we see is more of the evidence that she's compiling to say that she was under intense pressure at almost every turn from state officials to back this project, this development project in her city.
And so what we've heard so far, to very briefly bring people up to date if they haven't been following, is that after the whole Bridgegate fracas, Mayor Dawn Zimmer decided to go public with the fact that the Christie administration wasn't just tying up traffic when Democratic mayors crossed them, but that Lieutenant Governor Kim Guadagno had told Zimmer in a parking lot that her approval of this real estate development deal in her city was important to the governor and that federal flood protection funds would hang in the balance, which the lieutenant governor denies. But you found emails that seem to support the idea that there was some kind of linkage. So can you get a little more specific about what's in those emails?
Yes. Well, one of the things she's really focused on is this period in May, right before she says the lieutenant governor came and made that threat. There was a meeting set up with state officials in Trenton to talk about flooding in Hoboken and how to control it. She expressed, frustration that meeting was actually set up by the developer that wants to build this big project in the city, and that there was a lot of back and forth about, well, why are your lobbyists going to be at a meeting between my city and state officials to talk about flood problems in Hoboken? So yeah. She thinks, she's doubling down here with more documents that she thinks shows that there was indeed a pattern of this kind of pressure.
Right. So, Charles, here to talk about that email still, here is this meeting that, according to Zimmer's email, was supposed to be between city officials and state officials. And, why is this person from this development group attending this meeting? How unusual would that be in your experience covering real estate?
Well, it's very unusual, but there's a little bit of context here. It's a complicated story because after Sandy, the mayor of Hoboken was freaked out about the flooding, so what to do? And she invites property owners and various players in Hoboken to get together to talk about it, and the engineers working for the Rockefeller Group attend. And they put a lot of effort into coming up with some ideas about how to solve that problem. You know, that every time there's a heavy storm, you get flooding at the north end and the south end of Hoboken. So she brings them into it. But what she's talking about is for years there's this heavy pressure to address their project, and her number one priority is solving the flooding problem, keeping Hoboken dry. And so here she has this meeting scheduled with the state, and okay, the engineers are there from the Rockefeller Group, but why are the lobbyists here? And it becomes a more politicized, and furthermore, the number one topic on the agenda that's put out by the state is the Rockefeller Group project, which leaves her scratching her head and saying, well, why do you keep pushing this in my face?
And why did they keep pushing this in her face, Patrick. I guess, you know, if there's a scandal here that pertains to Governor Christie, which is why this is such big news, if there's a scandal that impacts Governor Christie's ability to run for president or even continue as governor, is Christie's clear interest in the project tied to his associate David Sampson's ability to profit from it? That's the dirtiest thing that apparently one might take away at the end of the investigation, but we don't know yet. Christie's appointee to head the Port Authority, David Sampson, also is with this very connected law firm, and the law firm also represented the Rockefeller Group, which wanted to develop this property in Hoboken, and Christie's leaning on the mayor of Hoboken to approve the project. So probably the worst thing that it might be is Christie's trying to help his buddy. And this is what Zimmer alleged in her diary, apparently. Is there evidence that you see and any new evidence from your reporting that that's where this is headed?
Well, we don't know how interested the governor really was in this and why. But there are new documents here that suggest that the governor's office is pushing this project and backing it. Now it's $100 million already sunk into Hoboken, with the promise of 10 times that much being spent and a lot of jobs being brought to the city. So there's reason for the governor to be interested. There's nothing wrong there. The question is, the big question is, how much pressure was applied, and the allegation she's made about, money being held hostage, that would help her city. I mean, those are the really big, potentially damaging allegations.
And Charles, why, again, in your experience covering real estate, and you've done this much more in New York City than in Hoboken, to be sure, but this is kind of a backwater, undeveloped part of Hoboken. The whole city is only a square mile. And even this in the northwest end, so furthest from the Hudson River, still would have an awesome Manhattan view. So you understand why somebody would want to develop it. But if there's not much going on there, why would a mayor be opposed to a big development project there that would presumably bring in a lot of construction jobs to build it, and then infrastructure, which Rockefeller was willing to contribute to, I think, and an ongoing locus for more companies coming in?
Well, the development that's gone on in Hoboken is really not so much commercial, office space. It's really been residential. That's what's happened unlike Jersey City, that's what's happened in Hoboken. You've had a tremendous amount of residential development, new buildings or renovation of old buildings. And I think at least some people, the mayor included, felt exhausted by this. And what they wanted to do is, yes, the North End would be developed in the future, but let's do an overall plan for that rather than willy-nilly putting up buildings. And so from the first day that Rockefeller Group shows up in Hoboken, they're not getting a lot of traction on the ground in Hoboken. They're getting traction on the state level, first with a Democratic governor, but then increasingly from the Republican governor, Christie. And you see that even though there is no plan for developing this site, there's no review process underway, that the Christie administration is approving a number of measures. They're approving a new train station for the light rail service that would be near where they want to put up some office buildings. They're approving reimbursement. Well, actually, that was done by a Democratic governor. But they're taking initiatives when there isn't even an approved plan for the development of the site.
And this goes back to 2007, the origins of this Rockefeller Group interest in developing an office tower in that part of Hoboken. So before Don Zimmer was in office, previous mayors, a previous governor, was looking at it. And what, Patrick, was more friendly to developers, and then she came in and put on the brakes?
Yeah, she ran originally for office there on a platform opposing a big development, not this one, a different big development that New Jersey Transit wanted to build in the other end of Hoboken. So she's been sort of preaching a sort of smart development and planning all through her time in office. Quite different approach from the previous mayor, who was championing the tallest building in the state being built in Hoboken. So it's quite a different climate that these developers are in now.
Do you want to add anything to why a mayor would block that kind of development project in a city that needs, that arguably could use development in that part of that rundown part of town?
Well, we don't know that she was actually blocking the project, but it's clear that it was not high on her priority list. She wanted to do some planning. She wanted to, particularly after Sandy, figure out how to keep Hoboken from being underwater, which was a keen priority. I mean, every time there's a heavy storm, you've got flooding in parts of Hoboken, which part of which is built on landfill, like Battery Park City in Manhattan. So she's got bigger issues on her mind than one particular project. I don't know that I would describe her as, quote, anti-development. She certainly was more slow to embrace it than some of the past mayors. But there's another question, too, in terms of urban planning. Where would be the best site for initially they wanted to build a 40-story office building, but a large office complex. Would it be at the north end, which is close to the mouth of the Lincoln Tunnel, where you have congestion, tremendous congestion, twice a day, every day? Or would it be better down at the south end of town, where you actually have a transportation node, where there's a bus depot, a train depot, the path? You've got everything that you would want when it comes to mass transit.
212-433-WNYC is our number, as people are calling in to talk to New York Times correspondents Patrick McGeehan and Charles Bagley, who have a story today with at least one new email and more evidence and background about this conflict between the mayor of Hoboken, Dawn Zimmer, and the Christie administration over flood money, flood prevention money, and how that was apparently being tied by the Christie administration to this one development project that an appointee of Christie was representing. So 212-433-9692 if you want to add to this story from your own Hoboken or other experience, or if you want to ask our reporters more about what they found. 212-433-9692. And Louise in North Brunswick, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. This is about New Jersey's infamous history of pay-to-play, which is a form of kickback that involves government contracts being awarded to usually municipalities who then kick back on an average of 10%. To political campaigns, political organizations, and now I suppose it would be 501c4s. We've already gotten $7 billion in Sandy aid, but we're expecting $25 billion. The director of Common Cause New Jersey told me that all the evidence shows that the 10% is fairly standard in most contracts on all levels from state to local municipalities.
So how are you suggesting that that might have been a factor in this?
Well, Samson seems to be controlling a lot of these contracts through the Port Authority and through his various legal entities. And he would be the perfect person to coordinate any potential pay-to-play give-back that would be heading toward, a Christie PAC, a Christie 501c4, which would never find out.
I understand. So Yes. Well, either legal pay-to-play or illegal pay-to-play. But I don't know that there's any evidence of that that surfaced through any of this. Pat McGeehan, do you know?
No. I mean, we haven't seen that. The suggestion here is much more that, you know, that this pressure was applied, you know, and possibly, you know, on behalf of the Samson firm and because it's connected. But no signs of kickbacks that we've seen.
Pamela in Hoboken, you're on WNYC. Hi, Pamela.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I love your show.
Thank you.
I'm just calling to tell you that I've been living in Hoboken since 1998, and I love my little city, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. And it's a perfect place to live if you never have to leave. But we only have this teeny little two bridges at the north end of Hoboken as an access to leave and enter. And I think that Dawn Zimmer is protecting the development of the town because she knows, having lived in it for so long, how crucial it is not to congest that area any further, because sometimes it can take you half an hour just to get onto 495, which is really only a few blocks away. So, you know, it's very easy to be on the outside and be a politician just saying, go, develop. But when you live here, you realize how vital it is to protect the exit and entrance to town.
Thank you very much. And let's go from Pamela in Hoboken to Elaine in Hoboken. Hi, Elaine.
Hi. I'm going to echo what she said about the transportation. This is why I've lived in Hoboken since the 80s, and it didn't used to flood. Every time you put more houses onto that sewer system, you create a situation where there's no place for the water to go when it rains. I moved 2 years ago out of a flood zone up to high ground on Washington Street. And before, when I was in that house in the flood zone, when it rained heavily, my basement would flood and the sump pumps would be going. During Hurricane Irene, I had 3 sump pumps going so my basement wouldn't flood completely.
That's a lifestyle.
I used to sell real estate in Hoboken, and I'm totally against all this high-rise stuff. It just taxes the infrastructure. If anybody wanted to put infrastructure first, they have to figure out how to make the ShopRite that has never been really restored since Sandy, but the whole area would flood. Since that ShopRite was built on the west side of town, that whole neighborhood would completely flood every time you get a heavy rain. Forget a hurricane.
Thank you very much for that context. And Charles Bagley, it's so different in a way from in New York City, where Mayor Bloomberg put together a big proposal for different flood protection plans around the city after Sandy, touting the fact that almost all were tied to economic development deals. So I wonder if you would contrast the two cities in that respect. And did Bloomberg even consider this in a way a best practice among mayors and governors, you know, that they see it as more bang for the buck from federal disaster aid to use it to leverage deals that will grow the tax base in the long run?
Well, of course, every mayor and governor will talk about that, growing the tax base and jobs. But Bloomberg is also somebody that promoted the high-rise development on the waterfront. And if you're projecting rising seas, you might wonder about that. Why are you putting all those buildings so close to flood zones? You're going to see water rise in lower Manhattan on the west side and in the East River, where there's all kinds of glassy towers that have gone up in the past decade. So, I think Hoboken, in a way, is a microcosm of what's happened throughout the tri-state area.
Amy in Montclair, you're on WNYC.
Yes, hi,
Hello.
Brian.
Hi.
Hi, Brian. Good morning. My comment is regarding Dawn Zimmer. It's too little, too late. Her comments, her opinion came 8 months later. If she wanted to, she could have spoken up when it happened. Or as other individuals have said, you know, wear a wire. But the photo in the New York Times of Dawn Zimmer to me, it looks separated at birth between Adam Lanza and Don Zimmer. They look
don't even, okay? I'm going to cut you off because once you're going there, you're on another planet. But I do want to ask you about another story regarding Don Zimmer today. Have you seen the NJTV and Star Ledger reporting today that the head of the Hoboken Housing Authority is suing Mayor Zimmer for threatening to fire him unless he hired her choice of contractors, which Zimmer claims is somehow Christie retaliation? Are you following this part of the story?
I did see that a piece of that video anyway. I thought it was curious because I didn't know why the mayor's husband would even be having that conversation. I think I subsequently read that he was invited to that meeting by the head of the housing authority. But I don't know that all the ins and outs of that. I think what it reinforced for me is just how political that little city is. And that there's almost always some sort of scandal brewing there.
And if the suggestion is everybody does it, everybody pressures everybody to get their own people in to whatever position, that's not the end of the story. You still have to, even if she did something like that, you still have to get to the bottom of what the Christie administration did and its implications, right?
Yes,
absolutely.
I think that this all is a big story because of the big, really big allegation that the mayor made about the lieutenant governor and other state officials. You know, I mean, I think that without that, we might be talking about sort of par for the course in New Jersey.
Yeah, Charles, you wanted to add?
I think it's absolutely clear, I think it's true. No matter who did what, I think taxpayers need to get to the bottom of this and understand how money was spent and why. That's all.
That's all that Charles Bagley and Patrick McGeehan are investigating for the New York Times, as others investigated for other news organizations, and they added to the story today with their piece that has new email evidence of the Christie administration's interest in involving this developer in talks about future flood prevention funding for the city of Hoboken. You can see it in the Times if you're interested in reading more. Charles Bagley, Patrick McGeehan, correspondents for the New York Times, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Still a lot more to come on today's program, including that two-day traffic jam in Atlanta. No one down there failed to endorse Chris Christie. It had nothing to do with that. But we'll talk about why you're not a nice person if you make fun of the South for having problems with 2 inches of snow. And we'll have law professor Glenn Reynolds, the man behind the Libertarian Instapundit blog. You know that? It's one of the most read political blogs in America. He wants to break the college monopoly on professional credentials. And maybe you do, too. And with ticket prices falling and empty hotel rooms calling, we'll open up the phones later for anyone in business hoping to profit from Super Bowl week with your reports on how it's actually going compared to predictions. And we'll also invite your free classifieds of the air for our tri-state listeners if you have a Super Bowl-related endeavor this week.